We begin each year with celebration, which quickly turns into reflection and a long list of resolutions. Lose weight, work out, read more, slow down, eat better. Unfortunately, by mid-year, most of us find ourselves back at square one. What if there was a better way? What would this year look like if instead of a fad diet, we took a deeper look at some of the things that are happening inside each and every one of us? And maybe, just maybe, this could be a year of real change.
If you would, go with me in your Bibles to two opening text scriptures, and these would be our text for the entire series. And it's Matthew chapter 11 and Mark chapter 8. Matthew chapter 11 and Mark chapter 8. I want to highly encourage everyone to take as many notes as possible. The first couple of months that we've had the Outlet community, I really believe that I was introducing the Outlet community to everyone, and we've had some supernatural months from April and May. And I believe that today starts the actual pastoring of the Outlet community. This series, if I'm honest with you, has challenged me to my core. And oftentimes as preachers, what you'll notice is that preachers, I'll tell you a secret about preachers. We're going to preach what we're strong in, all right? Because that feels good talking to others because, you know, I could flex up here, you know, if I'm really good in a particular area. But if I'm honest with you all, soul therapy, I'm not as good as I thought I was in it. And if I could be honest with you, I need this series as much as anyone else needs this series. This has challenged me in what I believe as relates to my walk with God. This has challenged how I interact with others. And this has challenged how I've interact and how I interact with myself. And so what I endeavor to do over the next, it'll probably be an 8-week series, where I'm also going to bring in some guest speakers, because if I'm not the foremost in it, you need to go find the foremost and bring them in and really create an environment where we're all learning and we're all growing together. I will say this ahead of time, the end result of soul therapy, I pray, is a commitment that we all do life with each other, meaning that we're not islands, but we all work together and we find time to, outside of Sunday, group together and talk and be authentic with what's going on in our life. That is my heart's desire, and that's my prayer. Now, I also understand that when you're beginning a brand new ministry, it's going to take a second for us to trust each other, but please know, I'm going to tell you up front, my entire endeavor is to create an atmosphere, by God's grace, where people feel safe enough to be honest with how they're really feeling and what's going on with their life, and a commitment as a community to not crucify people who have life going on. Amen. All right, so that's my disclaimer. The second disclaimer is that I'm really going to be flatfoot teaching for a little while, because I want you to gain concept to where we're going and what we'll be talking about. I believe that this series is critical to every facet of your life, and not just spiritually speaking, not just in your soul, but also in your body. So there were some elements where the Lord even dealt with me about changes that I need to make on a personal side. Amen. So I count it an honor to stand before you, but please know, I humbly stand before you as a messenger who is sharing with you what I believe God wants this community to hear and to share. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I put everything inside the Bible app as well, so you have a frame of reference, and some of the illustrations that I put on the screen will also be inside of the Bible app, because, again, I want you to gain concept to what we are talking about on today. And welcome to everyone here, as well as who will be listening to this podcast at a later time. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30, it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.'" Isn't that comforting to know? Verse 29, this is the Lord speaking. He says, take my yoke upon you and let me teach you. So meaning that when we learn scripture, it should not make us feel heavy, but it should actually bring comfort to us. It says, the Lord continues to say, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The title of this series and the message today is simply Soul Therapy. And therapy is, you know, in its most simplest form, is just treatment. Treatment to heal, treatment to cure. And I'm going to tell you straight up, the way that you receive therapy for your soul is learning how to rest in the Lord. So this is going to challenge us on a level that is sometimes not familiar to us. I am going to push, and I'm going to prod, and I'm going to come where you live and see how many dysfunctions have you been saying are normal for the sake of doing what God has called you to do. I find that the Lord wants us to rest more than we worry. But I find that we're not resting because we are worrying. And I can tell you, putting in certain practical tips and practical steps and getting tools and getting more equipment to deal with life will cause us to rest, because sometimes we worry because we don't know what to do. Sometimes we worry because we don't know where to go. Sometimes we worry because we feel like we're in over our head. But when we sense that anxiety, when we sense that worry settling in, and we also know how to check down and find rest that only comes from God, it puts us in a better position. Verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. Go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Verse 34, and we'll read all the way to verse 37. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 37. We cannot go through life unaware of the condition of our soul. And let's see why not. Verse 34 in Mark chapter 8. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he being Jesus, said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You must take up your cross and follow me. Could it be that we're spending a lot of time in angst, in concern, because we don't want to surrender our plans for God's plans? Could it be that we have life already mapped out of when we're going to do things and where? And the Lord is saying, if you could just for one moment lay down what you thought you should be doing right here, what you thought should be going on, and taking up your cross. Now, in that time, he was referring to literally to his disciples. If you actually go back and do some history, they were martyred. And so willing to give up popularity, willing to give up the easy to go along with trends, or if we had to break it down in its most simplistic form, if we're willing to crucify our fleshly desires. And I'm not talking about the when we hear fleshly desires, we immediately go to, oh, he's talking about sex. No, I'm talking about the offense. I'm talking about, are we willing to lay down the strife? I'm talking about, are we willing to lay down the unforgiveness? I'm talking about, are we willing to push past the fear that tries to slow us down? Taking up your cross means, in spite of everything going on around me, I am still going to move forward, not for my will, but God's will being done. Verse 35, if you try to hang on to your life, your comforts, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, your comforts, for my sake, and for the sake of the gospel or the good news, you will save it. And what you do benefit, or what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? Here's the question here in verse 37. Is there anything worth more than your soul? Now, I want to sit right here just for a moment, because as I began to do the study in preparation for this series, the Lord asked me that question. He said, Vince, is there anything more important or anything worth more than your soul? And I had to think about it. Well, if he asked me that question, it's kind of like one of them questions that your spouse asks that they already know the answer to, but they're going to ask you anyway for you to hear it out your mouth. And when the Lord asked that question, no, there's nothing worth more than our soul, but I beg to present to you today, how many times have we heard messages dealing with the condition of our soul? In fact, what I went into and began to study is actually a dismissal of our soul for, quote unquote, the sake of the gospel. What do I mean by that? I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by the word of God. So it doesn't matter what I feel and what I see. And so what happens? I'm feeling things, I'm seeing things, not saying anything, and I'm tormented trying to believe God for stuff. Y'all mind if I kind of push over some sacred cows today? All right. Now, I really am wanting to say these things to you. Here we go. Little call and response. When you've learned about the Bible, you have heard what part of you is the real you. Your what? Your spirit, right? Subconsciously, what you're saying then is only the spirit side of me is real. Everything else is fake. So if I don't believe something is real, I'm not going to tend to it because it's all about my spirit anyway, right? I'm telling you, the Lord got in my grits with this series. I said, Jesus, I'm going to be a heretic out of here. He asked me a question. He said, what part of you is real, Vince? I was like, well, it's not just my soul. It's definitely not just my body. It is my spirit. He said, I'll give you a hint. All of you is real. Every part of you is real. But we have to know how to relate to the different sides of who we are. Man is not just a spirit. Man also has a soul. And man lives in a physical body. And guess what? Your body, your soul, and your spirit are real. Your body tells you when it hurts. Your mind tells you when your mind talk to you. And your spirit, of course, is directly connected to God. So I want to put an illustration on screen. And as I said before, this is just going to be today. I've got to lay this foundation. However long it takes, it might take a week or two to lay this foundation, because from here, we can build upon everything else. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. So we are three-part beings. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and what? Soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Here's the good news. God will make this happen, for he, being God who calls you, is faithful. So as you see on this screen, is an image that, for the purpose of gaining concept, I created to show you how we work as one. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us," plural, "make man in our image and after our likeness." When God said the word God there means Elohim, which is a plural rendering, meaning that God speaking to himself, God the Father, there's God the Son, and then there's God the Holy Spirit. All three, yet one God. Each member of the Godhead has its own primary function, yet works together to make up one Godhead. So when he created us in his image and his likeness, don't you find it ironic that God gave us a spirit, he gave us a soul, he gave us a body? We cannot separate our three parts from ourselves. This is who we are. This is how we're made. But we need to know which part does. And so the spirit, and you probably can't see it because the light's hitting it. The beautiful thing about your spirit is that your spirit contacts the spiritual realm. Your human spirit contacts the spiritual realm. And when you became born again, your spirit entered into covenant with God's spirit and became one. And it didn't come with a hyphenated last name either. You took on the character, the essence of God, and became one with God. And that's good news. You want to know why? Because wherever you were weak prior to salvation, that moment you became born again, your spirit was infused with God's spirit. So now when you look at your human spirit looks just like God right now. You know all those miracles you saw in the gospel? That same power lives on the inside of you right now. And Ephesians 1:13 says that when we became born again, that we were sealed tight and shut by the Holy Spirit. Meaning your salvation can't leak out. Your healing can't leak out. Your prosperity can't leak out. The moment you became born again, that belongs to you in your spirit. And you did nothing to deserve all of that. Well, now we have to ask, why don't we see what's in our spirit in our natural world? Because there's another part of us called our soul. The soul is the in-between party that interacts, and that's why you see the two arrows. Your soul interacts with the spirit realm, and your soul interacts with the natural realm. And if your soul doesn't know where to look, it will always revert back to what's familiar. Romans chapter 12 says that you need to become transformed by the renewing, making your mind new again. That word renew means, in a science term, remapped. That the inputs and outputs need to be rewired so that you can bring what's in the spirit from the spirit side to the natural side. This is really good news. Meaning, I'm not waiting to get to heaven. Heaven's on the inside of me. And if I could just get enough therapy for this soul, I can bring the heaven that I read about and see it in my everyday life. So all in the inside of you is everything. When we say there's everything that you could ever need, it's in the spirit. But if I only teach people, just focus on the spirit, focus on the spirit, focus on the spirit, focus, focus, focus on the spirit, pray, 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 pray. How many of you know when your mind is going tilt, you don't want to pray? You want to cut somebody. So we can't just dismiss the soul piece. And our soul is comprised of our mind, which is our thoughts, and watch this, our imagination. Our imagination is powerful. It's powerful. It's where dreams happen. It's where vision takes place. Our soul also is comprised of our free will, choice. Or another word for free will is our heart. Now, I want to say this. I was taught growing up that the word heart in Scripture meant spirit. Anybody else in that same line? That when you see the word heart, it means spirit. No. I went and I read and I looked literally from cover to cover. And when heart is mentioned, it's speaking about your free will to make a choice. We use the term in athletics, or we use the term in life when we ask people, don't you have any heart left? Don't you have any determination or the heart in that person? We see their determination, we see their will, but that's why when our heart is broken, we make bad choices. Another part of our soul realm is our emotions and our feelings. So that means that when our spirit is trying to contact our mind, our will, and our emotions, if I'm making a choice to ignore what my spirit is saying, I'll never see what the spirit is trying to get me. It's a blockade. That's why in your spirit, you know already. 1 John chapter 2 and 20. You know the answer in your spirit already. But it's in your soul that you believe what you know. Oh, boy. All right. Y'all been in some situations or some relationships. You knew. And you could even see some things. So, you know, you've even seen some stuff, confirmed it. I just choose not to believe what I'm seeing right now. And it's like right there in front of your face. So your spirit immediately knows. But it's your heart that makes the choice whether or not it's going to believe what your spirit is telling you. However, the soul talks to the body or the natural realm. Our body interacts with the natural realm. And if I'm more familiar with what I can see, I'm going to be quicker to believe what I see than what is truth. I know what I'm saying in the natural, but I've got to have more confidence in what is true, not in what I see. Now, I like video games. I do. And what can I say? They're going to just be a part of my sermons, too. So I don't know if you all remember Sega Dreamcast. Anybody remember Sega Dreamcast? Anybody? Okay. Sega Dreamcast, it was a flop, but it was great for when it was out until PlayStation came out, and it just, you know, we forgot about Sega Dreamcast. But with Sega Dreamcast also came a video game that has survived today called NBA 2K. All right, yes, I have the men's and some gaming ladies' attention right now. All right, so NBA 2K changed the way how you shoot free throws. And I was upset. Previously on NBA Live on Super Nintendo, all you had to do was just line up two basketballs, and you just had to time it, hit a button, and then time the other one, hit the button, and then based on how accurate you were, the ball went in. However, on NBA 2K, you had to line up two arrows in order to make one free throw shot, and you had to use your thumbs and press the button to shoot while aligning everything else up. It was increasingly difficult, and it threw me off for a while. And based off of the free throw shooter's percentage in real life, determined how easy or how difficult the free throw would be. So back in that time, I had Reggie Miller. If Reggie Miller went to the line, oh, that was nothing. I could just hit those, you know, those back buttons together, hit the button. I'm training free throws. If I had Shaq, you know, we've got some issues here, and I'm having all types of trouble aligning the two so I could get it to where it needs to get. I thought about the three-part nature of man. Depending on how much we've been damaged in a particular area, it's kind of hard for us to align the spirit and our soul so we could see it in our life. And we think there's something going on, or that God doesn't want us to have what we're reading in the Word, without taking time to take care of our souls and to rest and to deal with what's going on the inside of us. There are some areas that we can just line up and praise the Lord, but there are other areas that take a little more time, take a little more concentration, take a little more adjustment in order for us to get the things that are already free and provided for us. So that's why it's important for us to, beyond Sunday, to put in the work to deal with the areas that we don't want other people to know about. That's why we need to be together in groups, because, you know, we'll sit here, we'll listen all day long, but some of us, including myself, feel safer when I'm with just people that I know to tell them what's going on. Whatever way, however it takes to get there, you've got to do it so you can line your soul and your spirit up to walk in everything Christ gave you freely. Amen? All right. So let's keep going. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. So a little foundation here. We're a three-part being. We're spirit, soul, body. Every part of us is real. Hebrews 4:12, because how many of you ever wondered, is this God, me, or the devil? Like, who is this voice? Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit. The Word of God helps us to see what is truth versus what is it I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and what I want to do. It's the Word of God that allows us to separate the two. It says, cutting between the soul and spirit, between the joint and the marrow, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So what is my soul? What is my soul? And why are we taking so much time to deal with the condition of our soul? Well, the Hebrew and Greek words for soul are often translated as life and the quality of life. Life and quality of life. So in essence, the soul is my filter to everything I'm experiencing in this world. Meaning that before I just automatically trust my feelings, before I automatically trust what I want to do, before I automatically trust my thoughts, my imagination, I need to check it against truth, which is God's word. Amen. There are things that are so deep embedded on the inside of our mind and on the inside of our soul that we don't even have a clue that they were in there. Want to play a quick game? Want to play a quick game? Let's play a quick game. All right. I'm going to start singing a song, and I want you all to join in with me. Are you ready? Uh-oh, that's right, that's right. All right, here we go. I've got sunshine. Yes. When it's... Come on now. I got the month of May. Say, I guess you say. What you say now? Feel this way. My soul. All right. My soul. Now, you didn't come in to the outlet today like, oh, we're going to go over Temptations. Let me go ahead and just get these lyrics out. Let me go ahead and reverse my part. All right. And then, you know, you were moving too like it was a barbecue. I can see you like, yeah, you know, I feel you. You didn't have to rehearse that. It was already deep embedded in your soul. And I'm saying that because you were triggered by those lyrics. But there are other things that trigger you too. And when you're triggered, you have to ask yourself, where is this coming from? And before you use your heart and your will to believe that's who you are, you need to check it against the truth of God's word. Even though I feel this way, my feeling is not my truth. It's my feeling. The word of God is my truth. Now, one study of the Hebrew term soul yielded over 750 different uses. And we're only going to read 600 of them today. No, okay. Some major categories that came out, again, your soul is where your desires lie. Your soul is your personal, your individual being, your character, who you are, what makes you different is your soul. Your conscience is your soul. You know, I don't know if you all remember in 1 John where it says, if your heart condemns you, y'all remember that in 1 John? If my heart condemns me, you are looking at me like, no, I don't. go with me, and then I'm going to close today. 1 John chapter 3. This just came in my spirit today. Praise the Lord. We're just laying a foundation this morning for this dynamic series. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 20. All right. I'm actually taking a long time to get there now. And I'll be reading from the actual King James Version. It says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now, if I believe that heart was spirit, then I then believe that my spirit can condemn me when I mess up. No, it's not your spirit. It's in your soul. And what the scripture is saying is that God is greater than your soul. Your truth is greater than your soul. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. And this is why. Verse 22. So when I can get beyond what my soul is telling me, when I can condition my soul to, instead of believing immediately what I'm feeling, believe immediately what I'm thinking, believing immediately what I feel like doing, verse 22 is the key here. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 23, and this is the commandment that we should, believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us the commandment. Your soul will try to tell you that you're disqualified. Your soul will try to tell you that you're not good enough. Your soul will try to tell you that you've got to work harder to get blessed by God. But what he's saying in that verse that we just read. God is greater than how you're feeling. God is greater than any mistake that you could have ever made in your life. God is greater than any time you feel like I'm so disconnected, I'm so far away. I feel like God doesn't hear my prayer. Because if I believe God doesn't hear my prayer, I won't be praying. But because our hearts, when we stay focused on who God is and believing on the name of Jesus, everything, come on, that's good news for somebody. Everything that you pray, your confidence is not in your feeling, but your confidence is placed in God. Amen. Let me pray with you today. Heavenly Father, as we've gone and spent time in your word, I thank you, Lord, that your word is an anchor for our soul. That your truth, that the light of your goodness, Father, will continue to shine on us. And as we began this journey of getting to know you and getting to know us and healing those areas in our lives that hurt and disappointed us and frustrated us. God, it's in your word that you said that you're faithful to bring us to completion and to make sure that we're brought into the created purpose that you have for us.